May the Lord help us to commence our worship this evening with hymn number four. Number four. Keep silence, all created things, and wait your Maker's nod. My soul stands trembling while she sings the honours of her God. Hymn number four.
Thank you. Our reading this evening you will find in the Epistle of Paul to the Romans. The Epistle of Paul to the Romans, and we'll read chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, and then we'll read part of chapter 8 from verse 28 to the end of the chapter. But firstly, this evening we'll turn to chapter 3. What advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. As it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous? Who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid. For then, how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? And not rather, as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil, that good may come, whose damnation is just. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, that being between Jew or Gentile, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. And now chapter 8, we'll begin reading at verse 28 to the end of the chapter. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely forgive us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let us leave the reading of God's precious word there. May we have been instructed through the reading of it together and each be given that help now to truly pray. Oh, most holy, almighty and merciful Lord God, we come now and Lord, we pray for a breath of real prayer. We seek to come before thee this evening to the throne of grace. And what a privilege it is that we can approach fully and freely through that great intercessor, the Lord Jesus Christ. But Lord, may it not just be one prayer from one person in this building tonight. May there be much prayer. May those that have never truly prayed pray this evening. May there be tonight that flowing together, that which is done for the good of our never dying souls, that which may bring to life, that which may chasten, that which may instruct, that which may comfort, that which may point sinners to the one and only Saviour. And so as we gather tonight, we are ever mindful, Lord, of thy manifold, uncountable mercies unto us each. We gather again, and because we do so frequently, and we have done throughout our lives in peace, knowing none of that persecution which many in the world are only too familiar with, because we have thy word before us and have always had it before us and have always had many copies of it, most of us, O Lord, do we truly value what we have? Is the Bible a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path? And if it is not for one and another, Lord, may it be so even tonight. For we are on a pathway. We do not know how long or short that pathway will be, but we know it must come to an end. And may the light of the gospel be shining upon that path, so we walk in faith, so that we walk looking unto Jesus, so that we walk, Lord, with that understanding of what we are, completely undeserving of thy goodness, but with that understanding too, that it is through free and sovereign grace. It is through nothing that we have that we are drawn to thee. And so may we find that light on this pathway of life. And yet, Lord, how frequently we find our eyes drawn away from that narrow way that leads to life eternal. So frequently we find our carnal minds taking over, and us, even in thy house, Lord, wandering this way and that way. Oh, may it be the prayer of us unitedly tonight, that as we gather round thy word, we may do so, thanking thee for it, begging thee to be instructed through it. And so that we may leave tonight, not as we came this morning, not as we may have come this evening, but that we may go home thankful to have been gathered here today. Lord, we know and increasingly feel that we are but an earthen vessel. But Lord, we all are. But Lord, is there that treasure within? We pray that each may come to know that there is that treasure within, that which has been implanted in them by the power of thy Spirit, that they may each be those new creatures. For Lord, that day will come when this world will end, or we will be taken from it. And then there is that vast eternity before us all, and we desire, Lord, to be made ready. And that we may, as we walk this pathway, have that sweet hope and assurance that we are ready. And may be able to cast away the doubts that Satan so frequently puts in our minds. Lord, may those that have not known thee know thee, and those that have known thee find their knowledge to be growing. That is our prayer, Lord, that the people here and ourselves may grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We may have our eyes torn away from ourselves and our surroundings and up unto Thee. For that alone will comfort us. Lord, Thou knowest the needs of all, and we are a company tonight from varying ages, and we pray, Lord, for all here this evening. We pray for the children and young people gathered here, those that at this time have this half term off from school in this coming week. And Lord, we pray that it may be a time for them that they can rightly enjoy and come away from their daily studies. And yet, Lord, there are those, Lord, who may find it hard. Or there may be those likewise who are truly glad to be away from that which they have to confront at school. But Lord, those that are educated in schools, Lord, we pray that they may be given wisdom to stand for that which is right, that they may not be ashamed of Thee, that they may have that knowledge to answer, Lord, those questions that may be posed to them. And Lord, how many there are that seek to ridicule faith. So many that seek to ridicule the early chapters of Genesis and all that is taught therein. Oh Lord, help us to stand fast to every word contained in the Bible. For Lord, if one word is not true, then how can we trust any of it? So we pray for them in their education, whether at home or at school, and as they go through the stages of life, that Thou wilt be going before them, providing for them in all their needs, but that above all, Lord, Thou wilt supply their spiritual needs, that they may come to seek Thy face, may come to know Thee, and may become to profess that faith in the open and right way. Lord, we would remember those in the middle of life, those that have much to consume every hour of their day, and whether in employment or in business or in at home, Lord, whatever the pathway may be. Lord, may there be that true prayer and that bearing of one another's burdens. May this church be a true united church. May it be that church that seeks to support, to strengthen, to love each other, and to help one another. May there be that true friendship and that true fellowship which the world cannot know. May there be that spiritual bond that binds them one to another. And in the busyness of life, Lord, may they set those right times aside to seek first the kingdom of God. And we would pray for those that are older in the congregation too. Those who know they may pass the 70 years, that so-called allotted span of life. And Lord, they must know that their days are drawing near to an end. As afflictions increase, Lord, may their submission increase too. May much grace be given, and they rest upon that precious promise, He giveth more grace. So be with them, and we would pray that those who are unwell, Lord, Thou wouldest be with them. We would remember one in the Bethesda home at Harpenden, do be with her in her pathway thereto. Lord, we would pray for those in positions of responsibility in the church. Thou wilt be with the deacons in all that falls upon them. Lord, may they truly be those that care and pray over the congregation. And may there be those encouragements for them. And we pray for the church too, as they look on and wonder about many others that are in the congregation and why there has not been that profession of faith. Lord, we pray that even this year there may be that done to Thine honour and glory. Lord, we would return thanks that thy hand is still being seen in our churches. We give thanks that there are those that even this year are walking through the waters of baptism. And Lord, may there yet be many more that follow on in that way to that honour and glory of thy name. We thank thee for thy work, Lord, but greatly beg that we will see much more and hear too. Lord, we know there are those here, Lord, who are seeking thy face. Lord, we wonder whether there are those who should have come but have not. And we pray, Lord, that whatever may be holding them back, whatever they may need, Lord, which is according to thy word, will be given to them. And if they are seeking something that is not according to thy word, they will see the error of their ways. And that this year there will be thy powerful hand seen. Pray, Lord, for all those that preach the word today, Lord, we would remember those that are in those probationary periods at this time, to be with them, Lord, as they preach to the people there that they are over. May that they be given that help as they preach, and those in the churches and congregations too as they preach to them. And may they know thy hand going before them in that right way. And Lord, we would pray for all that faithfully preach thy word up and down this land, those that we know and love, but those that we do not know, Lord, for there are many, Lord, that stand in thy name faithfully. We pray that they will be given help and strength and see the fruit from the preached word. We live in a land, Lord, where we see such decline. The morality and standards of this nation are falling through the floor. We fear greatly what this election year will bring. But Lord, may we not be fretful. Because the King of Kings reigns. And whoever is appointed to rule over us rules only as far as thou wilt permit them. So may thy people find rest. Not be careless. Yes, to be concerned. But not to be overcome. Thou art over all, and may we see thy hand, Lord, in the powerful nations of the West, where we have in so great a way forsaken the foundation that our nations have been built upon. And so, Lord, as we gather tonight, yes, we do so, Lord, and we hope all do, with that desire to hear thy speaking voice. And as one and another come and go and stand in this pulpit, may there be that flowing together from time to time. And we would remember in our prayers our friend expecting next Lord's Day to help him in all that is before him this year. And as he and his family sacrifice much in the service of thy name, Lord, richly reward them. Go before them and grant them unspeakable peace at this time. So as we gather around thy word tonight, Lord, may it be a living word to us. Give the people those ears to hear, Lord, we pray. Open the hearts, we pray. May the word spoken, the seed sown, fall on good ground and bring forth fruit for thy honour and glory. And help us now as we speak. We will not be able to utter one word, Lord, without thy help. We feel our weakness, but may we prove that we can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. So grant that strength, grant the hearing ear, grant that liberty, and come, Holy Spirit, come. Let thy bright beams arise, dispel the darkness from our minds, and open all our eyes. Open our eyes to what the word clearly shows us, Lord. And may we go home, ponder it. Search the scriptures and praise thy name for what thou hast done. So forgive everything that we have asked wrongly tonight. And that which we have forgotten to pray for, Lord, do make up in giving where we fail. And we ask, O Lord, with the forgiveness of our many sins, Lord, for they are great. But they do not surpass thy love and thy mercy. In Christ Jesus. And we ask all in and through that precious name. Amen.
Hymn number 321. 321. My soul, Lord, in flame, with zeal from above, thy praise to proclaim and sing of thy love. To lift up my voice in thanksgiving sincere, this truth to rejoice in, the Lord will appear. Hymn 321.
to help us each as we gather around his word this evening, both in the preaching and the hearing of it. I'll ask you to turn to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, and particularly verse 24. Romans chapter 3 and verse 24, but I'll begin reading again from verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation, or a wrath-ending sacrifice, through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. But with particular focus on this teaching of justification, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. In this epistle of Paul to the Romans, it is one of the richest books in the Bible for teaching us on various truths. And Paul, in progressing through this book, shows that whether Jew or Gentile, whatever our background, whatever our upbringing, we are all, as it were, those that have come short. There is none that is righteous, no, not one. We've sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yet there are those that are justified. Now let's start simply this evening. What do we mean by being justified? Or justification? It really means to be deemed righteous or right in the sight of a holy God. It is a legal or judicial word. It is man standing before God. It would be the equivalent of you or me standing before a judge, and that judge declaring whether we are guilty, unrighteous, or not guilty, righteous. It is our legal standing before God. But dear friends, what God would we have if he says at one moment, sin must be punished? And how must sin be punished? What is the wages for sin? The wages of sin is death. How can we believe in a just God if he was to just stand up and say, you are not guilty? If there was someone in this country who committed a great crime, and you children think of this for a moment, if there was someone that had committed a murder or some other horrific crime and they were taken before the judge, they stood before the judge, all the evidence was put before them and they were overwhelmingly, it could be seen that they were guilty, and the judge said, you're free. That wouldn't be justice, would it? That wouldn't be fair. That wouldn't be right. Sin must be punished. But there are those that, yes, we've all sinned, but there are those that the punishment of sin has been paid. How? Through the redemption that we have in this verse, that is in Christ Jesus. Redeemed or paid for by Christ's death. Being justified freely. And I want to focus on this teaching tonight. And our understanding of it, that justification is free. That justification is full. And that justification is final. Because what do we have to battle with? Those that have been justified by faith. What do they have to battle with? They have to battle with what we've just been singing about. A warfare, I find, without and within, with legions combined, world, Satan and sin. Though sore they annoy me, I'll be of good cheer. They cannot destroy me. The Lord will appear. But the legions combined, Satan, what does he want to do? If there are those that are justified by faith, those that are made right before God through faith, Satan cannot change that. They are declared righteous and will always be declared righteous freely, fully, and finally through Christ Jesus. Satan cannot change that. But what he can do, and what he will do, and continually try and do, not rob you of your salvation, but rob you of the comfort of it. He will continually bring to your mind the shame of past sin. He will continually bring to your mind the many, many ways in which you continue to come short. And in doing that, what is he doing? He is drawing your eyes away from the Saviour. And he's setting your eyes inwardly. And all the while we're looking at who we are, we're not looking unto Jesus. That's where he wants to keep us. And may our God set our eyes through this beautiful doctrine of justification freely by grace. Set our eyes on Christ Jesus this evening. So, first point to consider this evening. It is not only the taking away of our sin that we need. That is something that we can focus on. The taking away of our sin. And I've never really noticed it in that hymn 103 before. But in that first verse we have, don't we? Jesus, thy blood and righteousness. My beauty are my glorious dress. Midst flaming worlds in these arrayed, with joy shall I lift up my head. We have 2 points there. Thy blood and righteousness. Yes, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin, washes away all sin. But it doesn't make us righteous. It hasn't made us fulfill the law. It has not satisfied that which we could not do. Walk uprightly, freely and fully and continually in every aspect of our life. But through Christ's blood, those sins are washed away. And through Christ's imputed righteousness, or the righteousness that is given, we are as Christ. So Christ takes and gives. Takes away sin. And gives righteousness. This is being justified freely. That's the second point that I want to focus on mainly this evening. Freely. Freely. We have already mentioned, haven't we, that great debt. And the youngest person here this evening, if you've just lied once in your life, just stolen one sweet out of the cupboard when no one was looking, Just said one angry word against your brother or sister. That's enough. That's enough to be condemned to hell. Hell is not for murderers only. Not for those that are so wicked. It's for all that have sinned. All that have sinned. And it's a great debt. And when you young children look at those older ones in the congregation, you think a little of all the wrong things that you have done at, you know, maybe 5 or 10 or however old you may be. You think what a great pile of sin it must be by the time you get to old age. It's a great debt. A great debt. But Christ came to take away the sins of his people. That sacrifice, where he laid down his life, satisfied the righteous wrath of his heavenly Father. And he freely gives that to those that come unto him by faith. He freely removes that debt. But that debt of sin, dear friends, is known in measure. We are not all like the Apostle Paul, where we are brought to that point and that sudden, powerful conversion. We are not all like the Philippian jailer, where we are brought to that point where we cry out, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" We're not all like the publican, where we have to beat upon our breast and cry, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." We're all brought differently. Some are brought to deep and unfathomable depths of sin revealed to them and are led into deep repentance. But others not so. And we must not just focus on the debt of sin. Because what do we read about the disciples? What do we read about Matthew? Levi at the gate of custom. What about him? We don't read much about his great burden of sin. We read that one day he was there, sitting there at his tax collecting booth, and the next minute he followed him. What about Lydia, whose heart the Lord opened? We don't really read much about her conviction of sin. But in all cases, we see two things. We see in measure repentance, and we see in measure faith. We see repentance, which is a turning away from the old way, a turning, a sorrow, a grief, but a turning away from where they were by faith to something else. They turn to what? The free and sovereign grace of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, being justified freely. Freely by his grace. Now the Roman Catholic Church and some other churches will preach that it will be combined, yes, with God's grace, but also through our own merits, or through a little of our own righteousness, or through our works. But then it would be being justified by his grace and our merit. And it wouldn't be free because we had had something to do with it. We had added something, taken away something from this debt by what we have done. This is not the way the Bible teaches. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, 10, what does it say in those verses? "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." What is it? The gift of God. And what's a gift? A gift is that which is freely given. You don't get given a gift on your birthday and then have to pay for it. It's given to you. And this is true in justification. It is free. It is free through Christ's love. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. He doesn't love, Christ doesn't love his people because of what they have done. He doesn't love them because of a response to what the sinner has done. He loves them because he has loved them from eternity past. The love of Christ in hymn 633 is rich and free, fixed on his own eternally. Nor earth nor hell can it remove. And that's the point. It is free, it is full. And it is final. Nor earth nor hell can it remove. Long as he lives, his own he will love. Why? Because he's bought them with a price. He's purchased them. They are his. Being justified freely by his grace. And you know, maybe the Lord is working in one of you here. And made you to feel that you are a sinner. And what Satan will whisper to you and try and tempt you with is this. He will say quite frequently, okay, surely if you love the Lord, you know that's wrong. And you must stop doing that. And you would have stopped doing that if you were saved by grace. And we, in that state, think, ah, yes, that's right. We believe the whispers and we think, okay, now I will change my course. I will rectify my ways and I will pop that out of the way and I won't go there anymore and I won't do this and I'll be a good person now. And what do we find? We fall again. We sin again. Why? Because what are we doing? We're looking to what we can do. And all the while we're looking at what we can do rather than looking at the free and full salvation that is in Christ Jesus, we are trying to add something to our justification and not understanding that it is free. That's how it is. Justified freely by his grace. And that spiral may go on for many months, many years. Maybe not. Maybe you'll be delivered from it. But he may bring you lower until he gives those eyes of faith to see that sovereign grace is rich and free, being justified freely by his grace. By that love that never fails. But another point, dear friends, we've talked about being justified freely, but this justification is full. It is once for all sin. Christ has died for all the sins of his people, past, present, and future. The debt is paid, the sum is clear. For sins yet to come, as well as those that have already gone. It's full and it's perfect. And you may look to the oldest, most gracious believer you've ever known. You may look at those and they are so gracious. They exude grace out of everything they do. And you can see the love of God in them. And you can, oh, you marvel at how they walk. And you may look at yourself or look at the newest believer that has only just come to know the Lord. And you could put them side by side. And the oldest one is no more justified than the youngest one. They are perfectly justified and fully justified. Once for all. It is a one-off thing, justification. It's a standing before God. It doesn't change. It cannot change. It cannot be undone. Yes, there may be times of backsliding. Yes, there may be times when there is coldness of heart. But those that are justified freely are justified fully. It cannot be changed. And justification does not ebb and flow. There are times when we are more justified than other times. It is in the past tense. We are justified freely by His grace. And that is where, dear friends, we need to look to Jesus. To realize that yes, when Satan, as we started off this evening, tries to pile that shame upon us from our sinfulness, tries to pile it upon us, what do we do? Not to look to ourselves, but by faith, pray that we can look to Jesus. Yes, we may feel the sin, the shame of sin, but what about Christ? He has borne that shame, hasn't he? In that great servant song in Isaiah 53, he is despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. The shame has been borne on the cross too. The shame of sin has been carried fully to the cross at Calvary. That's where our eyes need to be drawn. To the Garden of Gethsemane. To the cross at Calvary, because only then we would be freed from a moment from the shame of our sin. That great long hymn 802 on Gethsemane, it speaks much there, doesn't it? Sins against the holy God, sins against his righteous laws, sins against his love, his blood, sins against his name and cause, sins immense as in the sea. That's what Satan will be trying to get you to look at. And what does the believer cry? In the fullness of justification, where's the solution? Only in Gethsemane. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, one almighty God of love, hymned by all the heavenly host, in thy shining courts above, we poor sinners, gracious three, bless thee for Gethsemane. That's where the believer is brought to. That's where the shame of their sin is hidden. In Gethsemane, sinners vile like me and lost, if there's one so vile as I, leave more righteous souls to boast, leave them and to refuge fly. We may well bless that decree which ordained Gethsemane. We cry out unclean, but we look to that full and free justification in Christ alone. We look to Calvary. We look to Gethsemane. We look to him. Being justified freely by his grace. Being justified fully, we have considered briefly. But being justified finally too. As I said just now, it's a once for all, isn't it? It doesn't change. It's a constant. And the finality of it means that those sins are remembered no more. I think it's mentioned twice in the Epistle of Paul to the Hebrews. We read, don't we? I'll be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. It is something that we constantly, or I think I do anyway, we think that because Christ bore such a great load of sin upon the cross, that is what he focuses his attention on. But, dear friends, that's been done away with. The sins of his people have been done away with. He does not look upon the sins of his people, for they are clean, they are justified, they are made righteous. It is love that pours from the Saviour's eyes. It's not condemnation because of that which we have done and continue to do. It's a final justification. Their sins will I remember no more. His people have that imputed righteousness, that righteousness which is foreign to them. They're clothed in it, covered in it. They are made like Christ. Oh, but he'll be on your shoulder, the devil will. Just look at your sin. Look what you did last week. Look what you did last night. Look what you did last year. Look what you did when you were 18. Do you remember that time? That's what he'll do. And you say, get behind me, Satan. I know I'm a wretch, but their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Why? The price has been paid. The sum has been cancelled. Freely, fully, and finally. And dear friends, it is only that that brings peace, isn't it? The finality of that justification. It's what we have at the start of Romans 5, don't we? Therefore, being justified by faith, where we have the fruits of justification, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the believer desires, isn't it? Peace, perfect peace. In this dark world of sin, where does it come from? The blood of Jesus whispers peace with him. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand. Being justified by faith, how do we stand? And rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Free, full, and final justification causes the believer, when we are given eyes to look to Christ, to rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Because, dear friends, Christ didn't only die. Christ didn't only suffer on the cross. He's risen again. Romans 4:25, who was delivered for our offences and was raised again for our justification. He's a risen Saviour. He's conquered death. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Yes, there may be those fears over death. For his resurrection, for our justification, has conquered death. It's conquered the devil, conquered that great foe, being justified freely, fully, and finally. And that's why we read that chapter, those verses in Romans 8 together this evening. For, you know, we have what is well known as that golden chain, those links, that order of salvation. In Romans 8:30, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. That justification is final. There will be that, the justified sinner will be glorified too. They'll be brought to that place in heaven above. Not because of their own works. Not because of anything they've done. But through Christ. And through Christ alone. So, how the Apostle Paul cried out then, didn't he? What shall we then say to these things? What shall we then say to the whispers of the devil? We say this, don't we? As faith is given, and grace is given to proclaim it, if God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all freely, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. So when the devil accuses you again, how can you lay anything? I'm not resting in anything but the precious blood of Christ. I find nothing to shelter in than that and his righteousness. That's what I look to. Get thee behind me, Satan. Lord, grant me greater faith so that I can rest in the precious truth of this word. Who is he that condemneth as he condemns you again? It is Christ that died. Yes, it is. Yea, rather, that he's risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. So that's what we do, isn't it? That's where we're brought to. We get on our knees. We plead to the Father through Christ Jesus by the power of the Spirit working within us so that we cry, knowing that Jesus, our Saviour, intercedes for us. Knowing that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing can. Nothing. In all these things, we are more than conquerors, not through what we've done, not through what we may yet do, but through him that loved us, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Oh, what a truth this is tonight to consider. But as we draw our thoughts to a conclusion this evening, does it mean anything to you, sinner, tonight? Does this doctrine, this teaching, mean anything to you? Do you have anything more than a knowledge of this free, final and full justification? Are you sheltering in it? Are you trusting in it? Are you looking to Christ in it? Or are you still being led down that path where you think you've got to do something? You've got to come somewhere. You've got to be given something or shown something. Have something else revealed to you. No. It's to realise that we've sinned. We've come short of the glory of God. We've got nothing in our hand to bring, but simply to that cross to cling. It's the only way, sinner. It's the only way. Through Christ and his free grace. There's no other way. Let's just read a verse from Top Ladies' Hymn 143. Not the labour of my hand can fulfil thy law's demands. That's what it's all about, isn't it? Romans 3. The law and the gospel. Not the labour of my hands can fulfil thy law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. Do you believe that? Do you trust in that? Because if you're not trusting in that, you're trusting in your own righteousness to get you to heaven. And you won't get there. It's only through Christ. May he give each one here true living faith to lay hold upon the promises of Scripture, the truth contained therein. Set you free, whether you have known the Lord or are still a stranger. Set you free from the grips of the devil, who'll continually try and bring shame upon you by your sin. May he set you free through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Tim Parrish will preach on Tuesday evening and next Lord's Day and address the Sunday School next Lord's Day. Our closing hymn is number 244. 244. Our Jesus is the God of hope. He works it by his power. It holds the weak believer up in the distressing hour. Hymn 244.
Holy Lord God, may we fall before thee at the close of our worship today, knowing that thou art a holy God. And yet, may each be given those eyes of faith to look to the blessed Lamb who once was slain. And may he appear to each one here, the God of hope. Lord, what else can we hope in? And may we prove our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. So, Lord, may we take thy truth home with us. Search us each out and grant many peace from thy word. Forgive everything that has been wrong in our worship today, and take us each now back home in peace and safety, if it be thy will. But Lord, there is an eternal place for each of us, and may it be a heavenly rest. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us each. Amen.